सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। मिल्चान चैप्टर 2 वर्सेस 21-25। वेदा विनाशिनं नित्यं वेदा विनाशिनं नित्यं यैनमजमव्ययं यैनमजमव्ययं कथं सपुरुषत्वात् कथं सपुरुषत्वात् कं घातयति हन्तिकं कं घातयति हन्तिकं वेदा विनाशिनं नित्यं यैनमजमव्ययं कथं सपुरुषत्वात् कं घातयति हन्तिकं वासांसि जीर्णानि यथा विहाय वासांसि जीर्णानि यथा विहाय नवानि गृह्णाति नरोपराणि नवानि गृह्णाति नरोपराणि तदा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि तदा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि अन्यानि सैयाति नवानि देहि अन्यानि सैयाति नवानि देहि वासांसि जीर्णानि यथा विहाय नवानि गृह्णाति नरोपराणि तथा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि अन्यानि सैयाति नवानि देहि नैनं छिन्दन्ति शस्त्राणि नैनं छिन्दन्ति शस्त्राणि नैनं दहति पावकः नैनं दहति पावकः न चैनं क्लेदयन्त्यापः न चैनं क्लेदयन्त्यापः न शोषयति मारुतः न शोषयति मारुतः नैनं छिन्दन्ति शस्त्राणि नैनं दहति पावकः न चैनं क्लेदयन्त्यापः न शोषयति मारुतः अच्चेद्योयमदाह्योऽयम् अच्चेद्योयमदाह्योऽयम् अक्लेद्यो शोष्य एव च अक्लेद्यो शोष्य एव च नित्यः सर्वगतस्तानुः नित्यः सर्वगतस्तानुः अचलोऽयम् सनातनः अचलोऽयम् सनातनः अच्चेद्योयमदाह्योऽयम् अक्लेद्यो शोष्य एव च नित्यः सर्वगतस्तानुः अचलोऽयम् सनातनः अव्यक्तोऽयमचिन्त्योऽयम् अव्यक्तोऽयमचिन्त्योऽयम् अविकार्योऽयमुच्यते अविकार्योऽयमुच्यते तस्मादेवं विदित्वैनं तस्मादेवं विदित्वैनं नानुशोचितुमर्हसि नानुशोचितुमर्हसि अव्यक्तोऽयमचिन्त्योऽयम् अविकार्योऽयमुच्यते तस्मादेवं विदित्वैनं नानुशोचितुमर्हसि। We finished up to 21.
We finished
20, oh, 20, 22. So, Lord Krishna, in this portion, is talking to Arjuna about why a wise person does not grieve. wise person does not grieve because he has knowledge of oneself. The lack of knowledge of oneself is the root cause of all the problem. Grief is due to the ignorance of the self. So therefore he goes about talking about the self. From verses 12 onwards he explains what is Atma. So I told you, remember three words. Word number one is container. Word number two is content. Word number three is consciousness. Container is the body. Content is the subtle body. Container is the gross body. Content is a subtle body. Consciousness is the
consciousness.
Consciousness is not
vasana.
Atma. The real self. Okay. So the real self is, as it were, misunderstood as the content, and it is contained in a container, as it were, all this. So he is explaining that you are not the container, the body. You are not even the content. The confusion usually comes between the content and the consciousness, because content also relatively seems eternal. Content also relatively seems eternal. The body changes, mind doesn't seem to change, but that is only relative. But mind also changes. But even though it changes, we are not able to see the mind perishing, because when we go to sleep, mind might have gone to unmanifestate, but it again comes back. So therefore the confusion is usually between, am I the mind or am I the consciousness? Gross person may not even understand, he may even think that I am the body. But lot of people do not have problem there. They are very clear, body is something that is changing and it will perish. But mind, they have a doubt. Maybe I am the content. So he goes on to explain further. He says, content is not you, but you are the consciousness. Consciousness is eternal. Consciousness is all-pervading. Consciousness is indestructible. Consciousness is changeless. Consciousness is independent and not dependent. Content is not independent, whereas consciousness is independent. Content is dependent on the consciousness, but consciousness is independent of the content. So that is satya. Consciousness is satya, content is mithya. So all this he spoke about. It is indestructible, it is inconceivable, it is all pervading, it is not something that you can come to know. It is the subject and not the object. So he says in verse number 21, Veda means know that. Knowing is not hearing about it. There is a difference between knowing Atma and knowing about Atma. Knowing one's nature is different from knowing about one's nature. When you are informed by the scripture or by the guru or by any other external source, you come to know about it, which is externally received but not internalized. So here the emphasis is internalize it. Know. He who knows this to be indestructible. This to be indestructible means what? He, from saying Atma is indestructible, he says I am indestructible. He doesn't identify with the body nor with the mind. In other words, he has de-identified from the container and from the content. See, he who knows this to be indestructible, eternal, unborn, immutable, avyayam, immutable. Immutable in the sense it remains unmanifest, even though so many manifestations seemingly happens over it. So how can that man, O Partha, slay anyone or cause to slay anyone? Means directly or indirectly, he will not become the doer. Earlier he spoke about Atma is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. Since it is neither the doer nor the enjoyer, it has no punyam or papa. So Atma doesn't do anything directly or indirectly. Swamiji gives an example to make it clear. He says Atma is like petrol in a car. Don't say Atma is petrol. Atma is like petrol in a car. Without petrol, no car moves. But the performance of the car depends upon the engine and not the petrol. Similarly, the vehicle car reaching the destination safely or meeting with an accident depends upon the driver and not the petrol. Yet, the performance, whatever might be the engine's capacity, or reaching the destination safely or meeting with accident, is not possible without petrol. Yet Atma is neither the doer nor doing it indirectly. Like petrol, if you ask petrol, do you wish to go there? No reply. Do you wish not to go there? No reply. Do you have any interest in meeting with an accident? No reply. Do you have any interest in reaching the destination safely? No reply. Yet without petrol, nothing is possible. Having said this, he continues now to say, to make it little more clear to us, that when the body dies, Atma does not die. So he is going to explain the concept of reincarnation in verse number 22, what is called the theory of reincarnation. Very famous oft-quoted verse. Let us chant verse number 22 together. Vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya, vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya, navani grinnati naroparani, navani grinnati naroparani, tata sharirani vihaya jirnani, tata sharirani vihaya jirnani, anyani sayati navani dehi, anyani sayati navani dehi, vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya, navani grinnati naroparani, tata sharirani vihaya jirnani, anyani sayati navani dehi. Just as a man casting off worn out garments puts on new ones, vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya, navani grinnati nara arani. When the cloth is worn out, you throw the worn out garment and wear the new one. So the embodied casting off worn out bodies enter new ones. Now here we need to go a little slowly and understand correctly. There are two, three things which is to be noted which are very important here. Firstly, worn out garment is thrown out. First of all, before that, garment is equated to the body, container, remember that, container. And when the container becomes worn out, it is thrown out. So point number one, container is equated to the garment. Then, when the garment is worn out, it is thrown out. Similarly, when the container becomes worn out, it is thrown out. Who decides whether it is worn out? The wearer. That is point number three. The point number three is, who decides that it is worn out? The wearer. In you find certain cloths not usable according to you. You give it away, but there are many people who are ready to take it and wear it. For you it is worn out. So who decides that it should be thrown out or continue to wear? The wearer decides. Who is the wearer? Why are you whispering?
The wearer is the, it could mean the mind, and the mind will decide. No? The Atma will not decide, the mind will decide.
Absolutely. This is what I said is important. The wearer means who? The subtle body. Obviously, subtle body enlivened by Atma. No subtle body or gross body can live without the dependence on Atma. Remember this, we already covered that. Gross body and subtle body are dependent on Atma. Atma is not dependent on them. So wearer is equal to what? Content is equal to subtle body. Sukshma sarira, mind and intellect. Is that clear now? So what is point number one? Container is equal to garment. Or garment is equal to container, whatever. Then point number two is?
Subtle body, mind, intellect, subtle body.
Point number two, goes the best way. Point number one, garment is equal to subtle body. In the words.
Garment is gross body.
Sorry, garment is equal to gross body. Then point number two. What is point number two? Worn out garment is thrown out. So worn out container is given away. Who decides that it is worn out or not? The wearer. That is point number three. Who is the wearer? Point number four. Subtle body. Atma is not the doer. We already discussed that. So Atma is not deciding, sitting and deciding that I should wear the new one. There is no motive that could be attributed to Atma. Right? So it is the wearer. So what is subtle body made up of? Subtle body is made up of desires, thoughts. Even though none of us may have directly any desire to buy, but the resultant desires determine death. In the sense, it finds the existing body not conducive for expression of desire, and therefore it gives up the existing body and takes up the new one. Okay. The wearer, subtle body, mind and intellect is made up of what? Thoughts and desires. The desires, directly you may not have any desire to die, but the resultant of desires determines whether the body is conducive for further expressions of desire, or if it finds it not conducive, then it gives up the body and takes up the new one in the due course. This is point number five. Right? So now, why I am emphasizing on this wearer business? Because wearer decides in the sense, you decides when this body is
to go.
When we say you, of course it is the subtle body. Subtle body is not one desire, subtle body is many desires. So therefore what? The sum total of the desires. This is explained beautifully by Swami Ramtirtha. He brings in the law of parallelogram of forces, which I think we briefly discussed last week also. When there is an object placed on point O, and there is 50 Newton force acting from X direction, and then 50 Newton force from Y direction, both forces equal, 50 Newton on X direction and 50 Newton on Y direction, which side the object will move?
Z.
No. Z. Z. 45 degree. Because the force is equal. Right? So this is what the law of parallelogram of forces is talking. There is no force acting directly in Z direction, yet the object moves in the direction. Why? Because of the resultant forces. If there is a strong force on in x direction and very mild force in y direction, then which side direction? Almost close to x. Resultant. Are you with me? So even though none of us have any desire to die, the resultant may want to express through a new body. Are you with me? And that can happen when it is 3 years old or 50 years old in the existing body. So a lot of people say, oh, is there God? If God is there, what kind of God is he? He must be really cruel. How can he take away the life of a 6-month-old? Somebody is stillborn. Somebody just lives for 6 months. Somebody lives for 5 years. Somebody for 100 years.
So the result, somebody is just born, and as you are saying that his desires and his thoughts decide. He's not developed his desires and thoughts are happening.
No. What do you mean? Everybody is a bundle of desires.
No, but he's just born.
Maybe not all thoughts and desires have manifested. That doesn't mean he or she doesn't have desires. All of us are bundle of desires.
No, but when newborn, then on what basis to be explained that the newborn means desires?
You have no idea what the resultant is. Right? Whatever that might be. This is a theory which explains how the force, even though there is no force directly in the direction, makes the object move in that direction. Similarly, what are the forces of what kind of desires the newborn has? You have no idea, I have no idea. Are you with me? Just because I do not know what are the forces, what are the desires that are there in the newborn, I cannot say the law is wrong. It's like, just because I don't see the mind doesn't mean the mind does not exist. I can say that the mind doesn't is not manifest to me, but I cannot say it doesn't exist. Similarly, I may not know the thoughts and desires of the newborn. Even our own thoughts and desires, not many we know. So therefore it is said that in our conscious level, what are the thoughts and desires that you are entertaining? Rather than sitting and worrying about what are the thoughts which are there, which I have no idea. Instead of that, whatever thoughts that has manifested, what do you do with those thoughts? Swamiji gives one example in the book Vedanta Fitness. He says, one lady lost her only daughter, who was very young, 18, 19 at that time. She lost the daughter died at age of 18, 19. So she said, my whole life was revolving around my daughter only. I was only living for her. She lost her husband long time ago. She said, what is the use in now? I don't want to come out and see the world. So therefore she locked herself inside a room. For many days she didn't come out. So a Swami was, for whom she had great respect and reverence, was called to, you know, talk to her. He came and explained to her, and then she came out. What did he explain? He said, you are developing a very strong desire not to see this world. So there is a possibility that you could lose your eyesight now or in the coming Janma. Strong desire. So what are we doing with our manifest desire? Instead of sitting and worrying about unmanifest desires, what are we doing with our manifest desires? So I gave the example last week. One person goes to office, wears a set of clothes for 8 to 9 hours because he is traveling the AC car. Sitting in the AC room, he finds the cloth has not become worn out for the day. But when he comes back home, he changes clothes and goes plays tennis. He's played tennis only for 1 hour. But after 1 hour, he finds it soiled. He wants to change it. Who decided? The morning he thought it is okay to wear it for 8 to 9 hours or 10 hours. In the evening, the other set of clothes he decided?
Half an hour,
1 hour, 1.5 hours. You decide that. So that is very important. Your death is determined by your desires. Therefore, at conscious level, what are the thoughts? The content is also important. What do you do with the content?
So you're saying that in effect it could be self-fulfilling prophecies.
Yes,
our thoughts, whether it's positive or negative, like for example the lady whose daughter died, she was so depressed that she shut herself off from work. So it's almost like she's fulfilling her own prophecy, maybe not in today's life, but in the next life of not wanting to view the world.
Yeah, basically what I'm saying is she's ordered it. She might not know that she's ordered it. Everything that you go through in life is something that you have ordered. The resultant. You don't understand. You might have forgotten. It's like you ordered something but you forgot that you had ordered. But since you have ordered, it comes. This is what happens in life. Anyway, we'll discuss those things in detail later on. There are so many verses which talks about as you think, so you become, and all those things, especially in chapter 8 and all that. But here, yes,
like even when
you were
saying newborn, the newborn also has a body, because the desire only makes the body.
Yes, the desire brought the body.
Only brought
see,
the body. So the body
very simple, very simple. We have not only whoever has come today is part of this class, some of them have not come today. But they have very much have the desire to attend Vedanta. Very much have desire to come for Bhagavad Gita. But the resultant desire today doesn't deserve this environment. Thus, you wanted this environment, therefore you are here. When we conclude this class, whatever is your resultant desire, you might go home, you might go to your office, you might go to your to buy something in the market, or to pick up your children from school, I don't know. Right? So the resultant desire gives the environment and the body. As per the desires, the body is given.
But those Gurujis are the Gurujis. There's a more obvious desires which we can recognize and understand. What's interesting is the subtle desires, which the messages that we're sending out and not realizing that we're sending out, like, you know, for example, again, going back to the woman who lost her daughter. So she was sending out a message, and I don't think she realized, she probably didn't realize that she's sending out that message. So I'd love to hear more about that. I think we send out messages like that, which becomes like...
The more conscious you become, the more aware you become of your subtle thoughts as well. See, when there is too much noise, you don't pick up a subtler noise. When the gross, louder noise reduces, then the subtle noise is picked up. The more aware you become, the more developed you become, even the subtle thoughts you pick up. So therefore we say, don't worry about what you are not able to pick up. What are you doing about what you are picking up? See, it's like this. You keep your house clean, and if you see some dirt, immediately clean it. Don't worry, maybe I have not seen some dirt behind the curtain, here, there. Don't become so, obsessed with finding dirt here and there. As and when you are able to see,
deal with it.
The more, clean you keep your house, the subtler dirts you will be able to pick up. Supposing you don't even clean the house, and there is thick dirt everywhere, such people who live in such houses don't even find that house dirty. Somebody who enters the house, oh my God, what is this, so much of dirt on sofa, here and there. They say, where is dirt? They are not even aware. But once your awareness increases, you will keep your house clean, and the more clean you keep your house, the subtle dirt you start seeing, and you will start cleaning that also. So, rather than sitting and worrying about what are the thoughts that I had already developed, I don't know, some of the thoughts maybe I don't realize, so sitting and worrying about it, do something about thoughts at the manifest level. Consciously, let the thoughts come, you can't do anything about it. Even when you are in a temple, maybe some indulgent thought comes. Some gross thoughts come. You can't help it. It is there inside, so it has come. Why? But if you identify with it and further strengthen it, then that will go in determining your destiny. So we are not saying thought should not manifest and suppress it. In fact, by suppressing it, you will build it further. That is why Vedanta says, don't suppress it, let it come. Be objective and don't identify with it. Are you with me? Like I said, we'll discuss these things in detail in the coming chapters, because we have 8 chapters where he talks about as you think, so you become in detail. So here, all that I am trying to tell you is, it is the wearer who decides that this body is conducive for further expression or it is worn out. And wearer here means the content, the subtle body, the thoughts and desires.
The mind and intellect knows when it is the right time. I mean, it's the need that this atma, like there's a body which is the content, and when it has become cold, the mind and intellect would know that this is now our needs to grow or evolve is in some other body. The mind and intellect, I thought, was so attached, I mean, was so connected with this body that it would not.
Mind and intellect, mind is also conscious and subconscious mind.
Subconscious would know, of course. Mind would not know.
Yeah.
But the subconscious.
Subconscious is what? All the thoughts and desires put together. The subtotal. It is not one.
I'm confused with
Atma that. Has nothing to do with this.
Nothing at all.
It's not Atma has no birth. Remember, we have already covered. Atma is unborn. Being unborn, it has no death.
No thought.
Something which has no manifestation or
no thought.
Then,
the desires of this is right or that is right.
Exactly. So it is as per the content that travel. Travel is determined by the content. That is why, fortunately, the beginning itself, I segregate the 3 C's, you must remember. Swamiji talks about different 3 C's in Vedanta treatise in a different context. What is he talking about? He's talking about concentration, consistency and corporate endeavor for success. We are not talking about those 3 C's here. We are talking about container,
content
and consciousness. So consciousness is neither born nor something that goes through death.
I didn't realize that even the subconscious mind can be at an observer level where they would realize that you have evolved in us in this body, and this is not required. You need to go to another body to evolve more. I thought it was not observer enough. I don't know how to explain it.
I want so much in asking.
No, I just want to say she didn't realize that. I have the same question. So you spoke to us about the 3 C's, right? The container, which we use and we throw away. Let's say that the container in this case is our body.
Content uses the container.
Yes.
Throws it.
So the content uses the body, the content is our mind.
Yeah.
And the mind decides that now it's time for us to leave this body.
Yes.
And find another.
Yes.
So the question is, we did not, even I completely agree with this, I did not realize that the mind,
even though the subconscious
biased or strong enough,
or observer enough,
or detached enough to recognize that it is now time to leave this.
It is not detached. I am not saying mind is so detached that it determines, realizes that it's time to leave and go. What is happening? Mind is almost choiceless there.
It is
in the sense,
pushing towards that.
Yes, the resultant. The resultant is such that
the desires
could not be expressed through this body. Therefore, it moves into another body. It is not consciously taking a decision. Chalo, theek hai, abhi, I have to go.
There are many directions along with its wishes and desires where suddenly this container is not viable enough to get
it. Exactly. Yes.
So when the content, and of course the content also moves to another body.
Yes.
It brings with it all its past desires.
Absolutely.
And, wishes, and therefore we keep doing this time.
Yes.
You know, whether the baby is dying at 6 months, or whether the fruitful life,
absolutely.
Though, something we can't consider really unlucky because nothing seems to go their way over there.
Yeah. So that is why from this what do we conclude? We conclude this, that what is the phenomenon of death? Phenomenon of death is nothing but transference of subtle body, within bracket mind and intellect, along with causal body, means vasanas, from one gross body to another gross body in the medium of pure consciousness. Consciousness is not moving. Consciousness is all pervading. We just discussed it. If something is all pervading, how can it move? Movement is possible from a place where the object is to a place where it is not. If it is everywhere, how can it move? So Atma is not moving, content is moving. Content moves. That is why, what are you doing about your content? That matters. We are gathering more impressions rather than releasing the impressions. That is why Vedanta says, this very purpose of taking the birth is to release the impressions, especially when you have taken up the human birth. But not knowing, we are wasting the potential of the human birth and gathering more impressions. And whenever you realize this, then you will say, the purpose of coming in this human existence is only to release the impressions. So I am not going to run away from this world. I will go through this world, but I will make sure that going through life will not create fresh impressions. That is the technique of living. Technique of living is what? Going through life, meeting the challenges of life, without leaving impressions. That's a bad one. So, what is death? Transference of subtle body along with
consciousness.
Causal body.
Causal.
If you want, you please write down. You can go on thinking about it. Transference of subtle body, within bracket mind and intellect, along with causal body, vasanas, the karana sharira, from one gross body, the physical body, to another gross body in the medium of pure consciousness. Or put it this way, transference of content from one container to another in the medium of consciousness. The simple transference of content from one container to another in the medium of consciousness. Now, does the content immediately get trapped into new container, or will it take many janma, many years? We don't know. We can't answer that question. Whether it will be immediate or it will take how many more years?
In the medium of pure consciousness.
In the medium of pure consciousness. Bas. So now, is it going to happen immediately? Will you take up new cloth? We don't know. Is it going to take thousands of years? We don't know. So the scriptures say, ere long, before long. They don't say this much time, that much time. They only say, year long. When it finds a conducive environment, till then it keeps traveling. Are you with me? When it finds a conducive body, manifests. So from this, even though this verse is not talking about it, we can little bit extrapolate to understand. So Swami Ramtita says, it is you who choose your parents and not the other way around. Therefore, you are the father of your father, you are the mother of your mother. Well, but we can little bit extrapolate further and say that what sort of thoughts a couple entertain during conjugal relationship matters to attract the fresh content to be born in a container. Are you with me? So that's why if you see, thoughts matter. Thoughts are nothing but matter, and it matters from this angle. So, though this verse is not talking about all that, so the embodied casting of worn out bodies enters new ones. So this is happening. The transference happens from one container to another, and who decides? The wearer decides. You decide. Not somebody sitting up the cloud says, okay, today this fellow has to go and that fellow has to go. No. It is not predetermined. It is determined by your desires. Are you with me? So you could have developed a thought for many years and may be very strong, but if you are really so determined and with determination, if you remove that strong desire in few days, then to that extent you can alter your destiny. So from this we understand you are the architect of your destiny. So we can say thy destiny in thy hands. Your destiny is in your hands. It's not determined by somebody else, some outside force. The law doesn't interfere in making it happen. As the demand, so the supply will be. This is what we need to realize. So this is a very, very off-quoted, important verse. Vasamsi jirnani yatabihaya Namani grinnati naroparani tata sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani sayati navani dehi. First and foremost, this body is a garment, is like a garment. It's a vesture. So from that, you go deep. Then what? There is a wearer. From the wearer also you have to go deeper. Where? To the awareness. So there is a vesture, there is a wearer, and there is awareness. You are that awareness, nor you're neither the content wearer nor the container, the body, but you are the awareness. So if you look at it from this angle, you will, understanding this, what will happen is you become conscious of your thoughts, which thoughts you should proceed further which thought you should just be a witness so that it dies away. So you will be consciously encouraging or not encouraging a thought. By understanding this. This is what Lord Krishna wants you to become conscious. He wants you to take up your life with full awareness. Without awareness, when you go through your life, it is not life, it is like sleepwalking. Sleepwalking mein kya hota hai? Jo bhi thoughts, you may be encouraging. You have no control over. You are just indulging in it, you are encouraging, you are stifling it, whatever you are doing. By which what is happening is you are creating more and more impressions. And because of that, all sorts of things happen. It's like you are seated very much on the driver's seat and then you control the vehicle and direct it. By understanding all this, your question may come, by understanding all this, what is going to happen? What will happen is you become conscious of your content and container. And a container is important. It is not as though it is not important. Container has to be in good condition for the content to express itself. Therefore, you will take care of the container also, you will take care of the content also. You become conscious in life. Life means you have to be conscious.
But I don't feel like that. I have moments of consciousness, but by and large, but it's too
much. By and large?
As a by and large, I feel more like the content and not the consciousness.
That's what it is. Now you're not. Nobody is at the moment so evolved that he or she feels that he is consciousness.
We are trying to reach.
Even if you come to the level of understanding that I am content,
it's a big thing
because from container level, today if somebody comes and tells you, "Oh Shivani, you've lost weight. Oh Shivani, you've put on weight. Oh your hair has turned grey. Oh you know this and that." Eh? 2-3 days you are not eating, you're so agitated. But no, I'm just giving you an example. I'm not saying you are in that level. I hope none of us are in that level. So the point is what? The point is you become so body obsessed. In fact, a lot of us are forget body obsessed. We go further, we are material obsessed. You know? We are just material obsessed. We are worried. How will they judge us? You know. So the other person might judge me based on what objects I have at home. So by hook or crook or by credit card or by whatever it is, I must have it. Otherwise I will not get invited for the party. You know, you are material obsessed. From there a lot of people body obsessed. To go beyond that and understand, and the content means a little deeper. You see, the whole purpose of Lord Krishna is taking us from that level deep inside. That's why I told you there is vesture. A lot of us get stuck there. If you see, this body, when I equate I is equal to this body, this body has come from where? My parents' body. From the very same body which I have come, my brothers and sisters have also come. From my body, my children have come. So if you see, this is a very big entanglement in many people's case. Maximum is what? My parents, my children. The circle ends. Or my other relatives who have some bodily connections with us. Beyond that I cannot see. You may say that many times I feel I am content, but we need to question all this. It is not just that, just because you don't spend 3 hours in the makeup room before you come out every day doesn't mean that you are not body conscious. What about the other things? You know, in a very interesting story I heard from somebody. There was a very old ancient hotel which was very well known, and there are a lot of other hotels that had been built around it, but then since it's a very ancient hotel and still their service was very good, the rooms were all very well built and all that, still customers flocked there. But then since it was a building which was constructed many years ago, they had only one lift which would go up and come down, and they had many floors, 40-50 floors. So every level it has to stop, and you know, a lot of time was wasted. So customers, the visitors, they had written whenever they wrote any complaints or any remarks when they vacate. The main remark was this: everything else is good, but since there is only one lift, we have to wait. Waiting time is very long. Please do something about it. Now, how are they going to build a new lift? At the same time, they had to solve this issue. So it's becoming a big issue. So the management, sent a circular to every employee, whoever it might be, either from the top management or from the bottom level, even beyond, whoever it is, whoever comes up with an excellent idea, cost effective, because if you do something, by that time you'll have to close the hotel for a few days, then that much business you'll lose and all that. So cost effective, less hassle, solution. Whoever comes up, they will be very well rewarded. So all these guys were doing so much of brainstorming, nobody could come up with any solution. whatever solutions they came up with. They had to close the hotel for a few days, this has to be done, that has to be done, all sorts of things were there. An ordinary fellow, maybe some peon or somebody, came with a fantastic solution. What did he do? He said, simple, he said, please fix mirrors in every floor adjacent to the lift, and inside the lift also completely fix mirror on four sides. What was it? Since many of us are so body conscious that once we come in front of the lift, we are just looking at ourselves, admiring, checking whether everything is alright. By the time the lift comes, so you don't know that that much time is wasted. You understand? So it's interesting. So you, many of us, we don't even realize that we are so preoccupied with our body. We don't realize. So he is asking us to go deeper to the level of awareness. We'll do verse number 23. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, nainam dahati pavakaha, nachainam kledayantyapaha, nachainam kledayantyapaha, nashoshayati marutaha, nashoshayati marutaha, nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, nachainam kledayantyapaha, nashoshayati marutaha. So he is now trying to differentiate between what is Atma and Anatma, as I told you from verses 11 till 25 is only talking about it. The difference between Atma and Anatma. Atma is consciousness, Anatma is the content and the container. So he said container is given away, content travels, consciousness doesn't travel, it is all pervading. Now he says, grass do not control the subtle. Grass cannot control the subtle. Weapons made of earth element, fire element, wind element, or water element cannot harm Atma. What is possible to be harmed by these four elements? The body. Grass can affect the gross. Grass cannot affect the subtle. In fact, the grass earth, grass water, grass fire, grass air cannot even affect the mind. Like they say, stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. You can put a person inside a prison and you can restrict his physical movements, but not his mind. So he says, awareness is not even touched by the gross. Remember, the question came up because Arjuna said, how can I kill them? They are worthy of worship. So Krishna is saying, when you say, how can I kill them, which is that you are meaning in this? Are you talking about vesture? Are you talking about content? Are you talking about the awareness? Are you with me? Vesture, what is the problem? It is just a shirt. Whether you change it or not, it will change. Whether you send the arrow an interesting thing, another interesting thing we need to understand is, even if you push a person from a certain floor, let's say 10th floor, he may not die. See, recently we hear, it's a very sad thing, just recently this news is there, even today I think he's still in the hospital. Ex-cricketer Azharuddin's son met with a serious accident. He was travelling with his cousin brother, Azharuddin's nephew. Nephew died on the spot. They even cremated him, and this fellow is in critical condition. We do not know whether he will survive. We only pray that he survives, you know, whoever it is. Now the thing is, both of them met with an accident. One died, one is critical. Sometimes it happens, somebody escapes without any hurt. So we think, oh, God is playing favorable game here. It is your content that decides. So grass cannot touch. You can only play the game. By playing the game, you are not touching the consciousness at all. Arjuna, consciousness cannot be touched by the weapons. Consciousness cannot be touched by the fire, water, or wind. It is unmanifest. He's already spoken about it. The manifested elements can only do some harm to something that is manifest. Atma being unmanifest, what can this do to it? Nothing. Fire projected on a movie screen, there's a scene which is projected on the screen, which is the whole city is burning. What happens to the screen? Nothing. Since the theater is air conditioned, the screen is in fact very cold. You won't touch it. Nobody can touch Atma. So you are safe there. If you had put all your bet on Atma, you are safe. But if you had gambled on body, mind and intellect, then you are bound to lose the gamble. So Krishna is saying, bet on Atma only, not on anything else. If you bet on anything else, then I am not responsible for it. And that bet is basically because you are ignorant. That is what he is saying. Out of ignorance, you bet on the body. You bet, in fact, you go beyond it, you bet on the material things. You bet on a body. You bet on relationships. You bet on so many things rather than understanding that the only thing that is trustworthy to be identified with is Atma. Nothing else. So Arjuna, don't even talk like this. You are talking as if you are a wise person, but then you are saying, how can I kill them? Then are you not identifying them with vestures? When you say, how I can kill, that means it is becoming very obvious, Arjuna, that you have identified Bhishma and Drona only with their body. Isn't that a sin? To identify a person with his body only is a sin, actually speaking. Then he is essentially consciousness. So out of ignorance, even though you spoke wonderfully in the entire first chapter, I consider you ignorant because the identification seems to be only on the body. This is the problem. like an eagle which soars very high in the sky, but even though it is flying so high in the sky, where is its eyesight vision?
Ground.
On the prey, in the ground. Like that, we also may be studying all the time Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad only, but then where is the focus? What is it for lunch? Was it is for breakfast? Who is getting married? Am I invited? When is Diwali? In the sense, that is why I am concerned. Right? So, he is giving this verse to explain to us. In fact, remember this. Of course, Lord Krishna is talking to Arjuna, but I have said this many times. He is talking to us through Arjuna. Because we are also same as Arjuna, sailing in the same boat. We are also identifying ourselves with this body, vesture. Rarely few people go to the level of content, but seldom you find a person who goes to the level of consciousness. It ever remains unknown. How many people who go to schools and colleges go up to PhD? Many stop at school. Few go up to graduation. Very few go up to post-graduation. Very rarely you find a person who goes up to PhD. In fact, you go subtler and subtler, you become a loner. You don't feel lonely, but you are bound to become alone. You may be in the gross level, many people around you, but you continue to be alone, I mean lonely. You are not alone, but lonely when your identification is with the body. The ego separates me from the other. Right? So little deep, when you go, you understand that I am not separate from the other. There is in fact only one homogeneous mass of consciousness, and that consciousness is not touched. In the sense, take this example. Anything pertaining to the dream world, can it do any harm to the waker's mind? Nothing. So, in other words, manifest can do nothing to unmanifest. Manifest can do nothing to unmanifest. When the mind is changed, body is changed. By changing the body, mind is not changed. By rearranging your sofa sets at home, suddenly you don't find peace. Yesterday I read an article in the newspaper, I think, in Times of India, yesterday. Whoever wrote the article, finally when they concluded, they said the same point, which I am going to say now. Air India, they were discussing, maybe they were discussing other things also, but one of the main things that they were discussing was that to limit the age of air hostesses to 45 or something. To attract customers, one of the things. Just because you have air hostesses who are attractive and age limit is 45 doesn't mean everybody will start now booking on Air India, no? You can do that. But what is important is the other things which are more important. What kind of service you give, whether it is timely departure, timely arrival. You know, many things goes with it. Comfort and everything. Just by changing the outside things. In fact, many of us, what do? Whenever there is any problem that we feel, we immediately try to change the external things. By changing the external things, you cannot find solution. You got to go deeper and come in contact with consciousness. It is not possible just by changing and rearranging the people. It's like a musical chair. Life has become a musical chair today. We are just playing with chairs. Those who cannot afford to change the sofa, they change the upholstery and think that after a while you may be peaceful. Nothing happens. You can shift from India to Canada, from Canada to New Zealand, maybe from New Zealand to where you go. Wherever you go, you carry the content, the mind. So grass cannot do anything to the sun. So that is the message here that he is giving in this. So the physical body can be affected by the elements, but not the soul or atma or consciousness. Continue. Acchedhyoyamadahyoyam Acchedhyoyamadahyoyam Akledhyo shoshya evacha Akledhyo shoshya evacha Nitya sarvagatastanuhu Nitya sarvagatastanuhu Achaloyam sanatanaha Achaloyam sanatanaha Acchedhyoyamadahyoyam Akledhyo shoshya evacha Nitya sarvagatastanuhu Achaloyam sanatanaha. This cannot be cut, nor burnt, nor wetted, nor dried. This is eternal, all-pervading, stable, immovable and ancient. Now, see, he's going step by step. In verse number 23, he said, weapons do not cleave this. Fire does not burn this. Water does not wet this. Wind doesn't blow this. All this is applicable even to the content. Weapons can do no damage to the content. Air can do no damage to the content. Fire can do no damage to the content. Wind, water can do no damage to the content. So you may get confused that probably he is talking about content. Therefore he gives few more pointers. Some of the pointers he might have already discussed also, but he continues. He says, this is eternal. Because if you see this verse, it looks like almost a repetition. You wonder, why is he repeating? This cannot be cut, nor burnt, nor wetted, nor dried. Only the voice is changed. What he said before, the same thing he is saying. Whatever he said earlier in passive voice, he is now saying in active voice, or active voice was made into passive voice. Just all is done. Nothing else. So, this is eternal. He continues. Because that misconception has to be removed. Container misconception is taken away by verse number 23. Because container gets affected. So obviously it's very clear. By this he is not meaning container. Then can this word, this mean content or container? So for that he says, I am not even talking about content. Because what is this? This is eternal. Now eternal, by eternal if you take something that existed in the past, present and future, then content?
No.
Content also exists. It may not exist as same, but it also exists. Okay. In fact, that is why I told you in one of the classes, eternal goes beyond time also here. Eternal doesn't, that is why I said, if you remember in verse number 12, he puts it negatively. He doesn't say, I existed in the past, you exist in the past, I will exist in the future. He doesn't say that. He said, I never was I not. He put it in negative. Why? Because time itself is a concept of mind. So eternal here means something that is beyond mind, beyond content. not within time. Then all pervading means every human being goes through three states of consciousness. Waking state of consciousness, dream state of consciousness and deep sleep state of consciousness. If you see space, which he did not mention in verse number 23, is all pervading with reference to the waking state and the dream state. But in deep sleep state, space is not there. Same thing with time. The concept of time is there in the waking state and in the dream state, not in the deep sleep. Time is eternal only with reference to waking and dream state. In deep sleep state, time is not there. But Atma is eternal with reference to deep sleep state also. Consciousness. Similarly, all pervading also. Space is all pervading with reference to waking state, with reference to dream state, but not with reference to deep sleep state. Content, mind and intellect is not there in deep sleep. It is not all pervading. And then
content is not there in dream.
In deep sleep. Right? But Atma, consciousness is there. It is stable and immovable. Immovable, he brings in here to tell you that content has moved.
Yes.
Container has not moved. It is ancient, means always fresh. It is not undergoing any change. So he is trying to differentiate here to make it very clear to you. By this I meant the consciousness and not the container. By this I meant the consciousness and not the content. In 23 he eliminates the possibility of container. In 24 he eliminates the possibility of content. So first let us come from container to content. And then let us go to consciousness. How beautifully he presents it. If you see from 11, when he said, Arjuna, you are only talking as though you are wise, but I can't find any wisdom in your words. Because wise people do not grieve, you are grieving. Why they do not grieve? Because they have knowledge of Atma and Anatma. Atma is eternal. Atma is all pervading, it is indestructible, it is akarta, abhokta, it doesn't undergo any change, it is independent, it is not dependent, it neither causes to act nor, it neither acts nor causes anybody to act indirectly. And it is avyaktam, unmanifest. Therefore, anything that you can imagine can do anything to Atma. It is not touched by anything. It is safe. You cannot kill Bhishma if you understand Bhishma as Atma. You cannot be a killer if you understand yourself to be Atma. So come to the level of that consciousness and play this game, is what Lord Krishna is saying. Because lot of us blame, oh, Bhagavad Gita will take away that sting out of you. You know? The passion will be removed from the person. It will become boring. Was Krishna boring? Nobody who is conscious will be boring. In fact, a conscious person will be naughty. You understand? He will not take anything seriously. He will always go about with light-hearted seriousness. So this is what Lord Krishna is demonstrating also through his life. So Bhagavad Gita will not remove that passion from your life. You won't become boring. All that it does is, it induces that consciousness in you. Rather than being a sleepwalker only becomes boring. You understand? It doesn't know what to do. You remain so ever fresh. become conscious with reference to life and living. Life means consciousness. You know, you say there is more life in animals than vegetables, more life in human beings than animals. But what is that which proves that you have more life? The consciousness, you know, you should be more aware and conscious. But today if you see, we are worse than animals and vegetables. There's so much of sleepwalking going around everywhere. So therefore he says, please understand, I am not even that content. So to differentiate this subtle difference between because this the word this in this verse could be misunderstood as content. In fact, if you see, many of us in India misunderstand this as content only. That is why a lot of people think if they go and die in Kasi, Varanasi, they will straight go to heaven. You know, a lot of people from many parts of India, old age, they go to Varanasi without telling anybody. And they may go and have Jala Samadhi there, or they may just naturally die there so that they are cremated there. Why? Because they think they are the content. Content has to be thinking about where I go should be good house, all facilities should be there, people over there should be hospitable, and you know, punya, paap, uska chinta hona chahiye. So they are talking about all that because everybody takes themselves to be content. Even some people, they say, I don't believe in these things, but I still do it. You ask them why. I don't know whether it was Newton or Einstein. Somebody was asked, do you believe in superstition? He said, no, I don't believe in superstitions, but I am told it works. He said, supposing if I happen to be content, and then better to have a better body next year, next janma, so I might as well do some punya karma. So if you see, basically this confusion with reference to a person who has grown up in Indian culture will not be, he'll be very clear, I'm not this body. Whether he identifies beyond body or not is different, but at least intellectually he'll be clear. But the confusion will be very much with reference to content and consciousness. That's why a lot of people misunderstand this word soul. Many times this question comes up, does the soul travel or not? Because in movies also they show, when a person dies, the soul is quickly moving from the body and traveling. So a lot of confusion comes that they are travelers. You are not the traveler. You are even beyond the traveling content. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.